You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
And a kind of harmonica gives you.
What's up, guys? Bonus episode time. How's it going? I'm your host, Chris Crespo. That's right. Orlando's number one movie critic. That's me. You're listening to Florida's number one movie podcast. Podcast. I said that really weird. Let me try again.
Podcast.
This is not Boston's number one podcast.
Are you sure it's not Boston's number one podcast?
This is Florida's number one Boston-based podcast. We should move to Boston.
So we can park the car.
Park the car in
across
Boston.
Park the car.
Guys, welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. How's it going? Orlando's number one film critic. You're listening to Florida's number one movie podcast, Cinema Crespediso. That's right. It's currently about 82 degrees out. No humidity. It's pretty sweet. That's a Crespediso weather report. Hope that helps you wherever and whenever you are. With me, as always, is the Phoenix rising up out of the ashes himself, Drewster Cogburn.
What up, dude?
How you doing, dude?
Rising from the ashes, baby.
Rising from the ashes of petty larceny into grand villainy.
Ooh, I like that. From petty larceny to grand villainy.
That's
I'm
your M.O.
Forward to it. It's going to be awesome.
That's your M.O.
I just got to hook up with Elon Musk. With his money and my evilness, we can rule the world.
Yeah, but he's like trying to do the world good. You have to convince him that what you want to do is... you have to convince him that what you want to do is for good. And yes. Then he funds everything. And at the end, you flip the switch and you show him it's for evil. And he's like, no, you tricked me. And you're like, even the smartest people in the world are blind to their own. You start monologuing.
Yeah, exactly. Start monologuing, and then Hero comes in and beats me.
Hero comes in, exactly. But no more heroes, so you just win.
Sweet. Yeah. Looking forward to that.
What hero's going to come in? O.J. Simpson? Guys.
He's in jail.
Bonus episode time. No, he's in prison. Bonus episode, guys. We're doing all the spillover movie bonus news, movie news, also a little bit of TV news, and that's pretty much it. So let's just jump right into it. It's going to be a quick one. Star Wars Episode 8. Mm-hmm. People be talking about it coming out next Christmas.
Yeah,
still a long ways away.
Yeah. Red Dead Redemption 2 is coming out before this.
That's right. That's right, it is.
That's how far we have to go.
They put out that pretty cool teaser for Red Dead Redemption 2.
It's so good.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, you point out that there will be bloodshot, but the music and the way the trailer is put together has a very Andrew Dominik Assassination of Jesse James by the Cowardly Robert Ford. Coward Robert Ford.
I guarantee you, it's going to have
that
whole Western vibe. You know how Rockstar does.
Yeah, dude, the last one totally nailed.
They do everything.
it combined John Ford Westerns and spaghetti Westerns, yep. Amazingly well in a video game experience.
Exactly.
It was an amazing game.
With nods to things here and nods to things there.
Absolutely, and all of it on point. And it tells you the percentage of games, a lot of games do that now, complete. Most games, barely you will get through. But that one, I got 98% complete.
I did it.
I couldn't find one gaggle of geese or something to kill or something stupid like that.
It's the only Rockstar game I've ever been able to do it on.
That's funny.
But I did. I got 100% completion.
GTAs? No, the GTAs are impossible to get
100%. No.
Those things are designed to playable forever.
Yeah, they really are. And now with GTA Online, it literally is playable forever. Did you see the trailer for the new DLC for that?
I did not.
The bike gangs.
The what?
So now you and your buddies can get choppers and drive around as a bike gang.
That's crazy.
And murder people and do whatever the fuck you do as a bike gang.
That is insane. Those GTA games are insane. When's that new one coming out?
New one? I think probably 2 years after the Red Dead.
2019?
Normally they do 2 years in between games.
Between major games.
Normally they alternate between... Lately they've been alternating between Red Dead and GTA, so...
Red Dead Revolver is a fucking dope game. I mean, totally different from Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, yeah.
Totally different.
Well, Red Dead Revolver was more of like an action shooter game.
A linear.
Yeah, very linear.
Go through the levels.
Exactly. Yeah. As opposed, you know.
The open map, open world.
Exactly. Well, and they got that from GTA. You know,
some people, yeah, sure.
They were like, seriously.
Like, it works for that
guys, Western GTA. We've already got a name for it.
But now, GTA. Now everyone's doing that, though.
What, the open world stuff?
Yeah. That's almost like de facto game mode, unless you're playing a war game.
And even war games are doing it.
Yeah, even war games are...
Yeah, the new Ghost Recon is actually an open world game.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, they all do open world now.
A lot of them do, yeah.
It works.
Mad Max did.
It works, though. Yeah. Depending on what you're going for.
It's a format that works, but we could use something new. Anyway,
VR Red Dead? You want to quick draw yourself? You want to run around with John Marston?
VR is going to probably make me...
puke?
Yeah. Star Wars open world game, that'd be cool. Like No Man's Sky style, but with stuff to do.
Yeah. Yes. If there was stuff to do, I could totally, yes, play that.
Dogfights and lightsaber battles.
Exactly, yeah.
Including the traveling and the exploring.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Because I love No Man's Sky, but...
Yeah, after a while, you're like, hey, well, how many other planes am I just going to land on and collect stuff and then leave?
Well, hey, man, I've got to upgrade my suit and my ship, and I got all sorts of shit in my weapons.
Oh, upgrading.
That's all that game is exploration and upgrading.
So, Star Wars Episode 7, the character of Rey, who apparently has Jedi-like powers now.
Episode 7.
Episode 7, which came out last Christmas. I'm talking about the character Rey that was introduced in that movie, right? Yes. And then they did the thing where they set up that she was left on that planet... by her parents. We don't know who her parents are.
Correct. But we know she's Jedi, so...
Somehow she's Jedi. So with Episode 8 coming out, Drew, do you, as a watching these movies, care at all about who Rey's parents are?
Give no shits.
No shits.
Seriously makes zero... In fact, it would be better if we never knew who her parents were.
I would be fine with the mystery.
She's random orphan.
Yeah. Who has powers?
Who happens to be Jedi?
Why shit gotta be explained?
No, exactly.
Why can't you just be born as the one for this generation? Yeah. This generation's the one.
Totally cool with that.
I don't know why. Like, people all over the internet, they're all about... Because that was presented as a mystery in Episode 7. So they're all about it being explained and answered. And apparently it's gonna be answered in Episode 8. And it's like, this is the type of speculation we're getting a year and a half out. And my reaction to these stories is just like yours, Drew. I-D-G-A-F. For reals, right?
Don't care.
It's crazy, man, what people obsess over, the minutiae. I just want the movie to be good. Ryan Johnson's directing.
And then afterwards, we can argue about the minutiae.
Yes, and afterwards, we can talk about the parentage after we know what it is. You want to speculate about a fake character's fake parents?
Yes, even faker parents, who are probably fake dead.
For sure. Sticking with the Star Wars movie universe, Han Solo, a Star Wars story. Well, whatever the movie's gonna be called, they haven't announced. Maybe it's just gonna be called Han Solo, a Star Wars story.
I'm okay with that.
To recap, first off, Alden Ehrenreich, who was most recently in Hail Caesar.
Yep.
I recommend people check out Francis Ford Coppola's Youth with him and Tetro, T-E-T-R-O, with him and Vincent Gallo, black and white Francis Ford Coppola movie. That's the first time I ever saw Alden Ehrenreich in anything. That was a while ago, too. He's pretty good. He was cast as Han Solo, signed a 3-picture deal. So looking to make 3 Han Solo movies with this guy, young Han Solo. Directed by the team of Lord Miller, Phil Lord, Chris Miller, Lego Movie, etc., etc. Screenplay written by... Lawrence Kasdan and his son John Kasdan. Lawrence Kasdan, Hollywood royalty himself, having written Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Indiana Jones. I think he wrote Raiders of the Lost Ark. And
so now he's got himself a new Harrison Ford.
He's got himself another Harrison Ford. Well, of course, if you're making a Han Solo movie, if you can go back and get the guy who wrote like the best of all of them, Empire, why not?
Yeah, no, seriously, yeah, there is. I mean, Empire is... Empire's the one.
And he wrote that one, and I think he directed Return of the Jedi. Anyway, no, he did not. He did not start directing until later. Anyway, that's what we know already. Just recently, it was announced that you pointed this out to me before I even saw it online. You saw it first. Mm-hmm. Young Lando Calrissian to be played by Atlanta's Donald Glover.
Yes, it's going to be awesome.
Pretty good casting. Donald Glover's great, man.
He's got great charisma. I want him to do something very Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian
at some point.
Yeah, like it's like
working his Donald Gloverness.
Like whether it's a look or you know something that he says, yeah. Or but I want him to do the Donald Glover.
I want him to have the same haircut he has in Atlanta.
Sure, I'm okay with that.
that's what I want.
Ooh, is he gonna grow a mustache?
Yeah, Lando, man, he's gotta be smooth. He's gotta be at his smoothest. I would be drinking so many Colt 45s in preparation for that movie. The kids have no idea what I'm talking about. Recently announced that this movie will feature a real quick piece of lore talking about explaining things. We'll dive into one of the things that is mentioned real quick, and I think it's Empire Strikes Back when we first meet Lando Calrissian, and that's when Lando tells and Han it's revealed that Han Solo won the Millennium Falcon off of Lando.
Oh, so that's totally gonna happen.
In the first one, probably. We're gonna probably get introduced to Lando and the Millennium Falcon at the same time, and then we're gonna see how Han eventually wins it. I wonder if they'll eventually also show him the Kessel run.
Are we gonna watch him do the Kessel run in 5 parsecs?
12 parsecs. Excuse me. 12
whatever.
Parsecs.
Still. So are we going to see that now? Because if so, kind of lame.
Yeah, I kind of don't want to see that. Like, the Kessel, right? Like, the big reviewer is like, we need you to do this.
Well,
run.
I
so
guarantee you.
And then the camera's pushing on the person. They're like, dun, 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 the Kessel run.
That's going to be the second Han Solo movie.
They'll swear the Kessel run the second one. The entire movie will be the Kessel run.
Han Solo: the Kessel run. A Star Wars story.
A Star Wars story, okay.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first, people. Mark it. October 20-something, 2016. Mark that shit, Drew called it. So that's going to be like
4 or 5 years from now.
Yeah, 2021. 36. We'll come back to that to that revelation.
No, man. It's okay. Like I said, I called it.
Drew called it. People remember that. Remember that. Just remember that.
Seriously.
Sticking with Harrison Fordness. Harrison Fordisms. Indiana Jones 5. We got a sort of a tidbit on 5.
Okay.
Not really. Indiana Jones 5 being worked on, for sure.
Starring Alden Ehrenreich.
Imagine if he just takes all the old Harrison roles, and then they do The Fugitive with him, and like Josh Brolin, because Josh Brolin was young Tommy Jones. Yes. And then they can do, they can remake the remake of Selena with him, and all this stuff. Yeah, sure. Regarding Henry.
Yeah.
Just pick like the weirdest Harrison Ford movies. Hollywood Homicide.
He didn't get in for Blade Runner, unfortunately.
No, he missed the Blade Runner. No, yeah, because they still need Harrison Ford. They need to, he'll get in on the remake or the prequel. They need young Harrison Ford, though, that's what, call Alden. There's that one guy who actually looks like Harrison Ford, and he was in that Age of Adeline movie.
Didn't see it.
Well, you see him in the trailer, though. He's in the trailer. Okay. If you can just watch the trailer, you'll see. When movie takes place over a very long period of time, so there's an actor in there who plays young Harrison Ford. It looks just like him. Apparently, that's why he was cast, and he's not very good.
Too bad.
So, things we know so far about Indiana Jones 5. Harrison Ford is playing Indy again. And also expect to see a good amount of makeup and CG de-aging like they've been doing lately. To make Pee Wee Herman not look like a 60-year-old, to do that so slightly creepy young Robert Downey Jr. in Captain America Civil War.
That was weird.
Isn't it weird how it's like our eyes can still tell?
Yeah.
No matter how good this shit is, we can still tell there's something odd about this. Is he slathered in makeup or is it a computer? Nope. Someone with a computer pet is trying to follow him around.
No, that's a CG face.
Yeah. It's CG face. It's so weird. Expect that with Indiana Jones and Harrison Ford, which at least it's still a year or two away from filming. The technology get that much better, but still. Also, for sure, as Indiana Jones was sold to Disney as part of that Lucasfilm $4 or $5 billion sale, just like the Star Wars movies, George Lucas has nothing to do with the Indiana Jones 5. For a lot of people, even though Indiana Jones, like Star Wars, Indiana Jones is George Lucas's baby. It was his idea. Yeah. He produced it. He shepherded a lot of it.
The first ones were amazing.
The first few were amazing. A lot of people do. Obviously, Spielberg has a lot to do with that because he directed them. So, I mean, they're fucking Spielberg movies as well.
Yeah.
But the whole thing with the sci-fi MacGuffin of Indiana Jones 4, which a lot of people didn't like, a lot of that was apparently what George Lucas really wanted.
Yeah.
And as a producer, everyone was like, you know what? I mean, we're beholden to you. This is the direction you want to go in. This is the direction we're going.
Indiana Jones is yours.
Yes.
So Do with it what you will, buddy.
And it's what you want. And so they did it, and the proof's in the pudding. The movie was reviewed okay, made some money, but it's not going down as like a well-liked movie. A lot of people don't like it.
No.
And then he sold Lucasfilm. Now George Lucas is the first Indiana Jones movie, just like Star Wars Force Awakens. He's got nothing to do with it. Spielberg is still directing it, though. Harrison Ford is still in it. And the guy who wrote Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, the guy who wrote the last draft of the screenplday, like after Frank Darabont and all these other people took a shot. David Koepp, K-O-E-P-P, Koepp, who's a decent filmmaker, writer, director. He has an okay filmography. Did you ever see the haunted submarine movie Below? With Zach Galifianakis as one of these shipmates.
I don't think so.
It was from like 10, 12 years ago. Super low budget, but like really creepy and atmospheric. It's really good. He also did, I think I'm getting this right, he did the very first Pitch Black. I'm going to double check that right now. Not all as
well. No, that movie wasn't awful.
No, I genuinely like it. I think it's super solidly well made considering the low budget and everything. Like, it's a simple premise. It's almost like the first, my favorite part of the last Riddick was like the first 10 minutes.
No, yeah.
Yeah. Where it was just all the boy and his dog.
Exactly.
Riddick and his dog.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
That was easily my favorite part. It has a lot in common with that where it's,
well, it does. It's simple. No, exactly. It's, I mean, it's a Riddick movie, but it's not, but like you said, like, simple premise.
Yeah. Chronicles of Riddick is when they started introducing all these other races and mythology. And
yeah.
What is this?
Yeah.
I want to enjoy this. Now you're making me like try to remember stuff. David Twohy, different David, never mind. Still, we got into a nice little Pitch Black aside there. David Koepp talked about how for Indiana Jones 5, what's going to drive the plot, just like the other movies, and I actually never thought about it this way, is the MacGuffin, which is, for people who don't know, the MacGuffin, a MacGuffin is a Hitchcock term. It's the term he uses to describe the thing that has a plot in motion, that sets the plot in motion. Simple example, the first Transformers movie, everyone's looking for Sam Witwicky's eyeglasses that have a map cracked into them. And the entire movie is people running around looking for these glasses. The glasses are the MacGuffin. In the end of the day, it doesn't matter. It could be fucking anything. Mission Impossible 3 with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Ah, yes.
And they run around
the Zephyr?
The rabbit's foot.
The rabbit's foot, my mistake.
The rabbit's foot, which they never explain what it is purposefully.
Yeah, exactly, because it's a MacGuffin.
It's the MacGuffin. They don't explain what it is. J.J. Abrams made the mystery box decision to be like, this is going to be the central mystery. We're never going to bother explaining because it doesn't matter because it's the MacGuffin. So here's what David Koepp has to say real quick. I think what Indy looks for, and when he looks for it, dictates what the movie's going to be. So the selection of the MacGuffin is everything. I think Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, being set in 57, there was a conscious desire to say, much like two of the other ones were World War II movies set in the 30s and 40s, this is 57, so a lot of our influence are going to be science fiction movies. You got that with the original script. Jeb Stuart took the first shot at it with Indiana Jones and the Saucer Men from Mars.
Now that sounds like a movie that was made in the 40s.
Yes, right? For real. That's what they were going for. That was a really conscious decision that dictated a lot about what the story would be and what the movie would be like, and I think that was followed through on really nicely. I thought Steve did a good job, blah, 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 blah. So pretty much whatever MacGuffin we come up with is what's going to drive our story and dictate the tone of it, etc. So yeah, if you think about the second one, the MacGuffin were those stones and the children.
Yeah.
The slave children and those stones and the black magic.
Pretty much the stones.
The stones, the black magic
because stones. Because the
magic
were
stones are used for black magic.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty much the stones.
Yes.
In the first one, it was
the Ark of the Covenant.
Ark of the Covenant.
Right? So you got into some crazy shit with that towards the end. But then it was also in relation to the Nazis. So it's kind of like all the war stuff and the treasure seeking. The second one is those stones and magic. So it gets darker and crazier. The third one is we're back to Nazis. You're looking for the Holy Grail. Back to a religious artifact and Nazis.
But still, a MacGuffin.
And then the fourth one is the looking for the crystal skulls and stuff.
Every single Indiana Jones movie,
he's looking for something.
Has a MacGuffin.
Yeah, because he's a treasure hunter. Yes. He's an archaeologist.
He has to be looking for something.
We don't want to see the Indiana Jones movie where he's like, he's
fine. Lecture hall grading papers.
Yeah, and then, Karen Allen comes back as Marion, and she's like, I'm dissatisfied with our marriage. And it's like, we got married late in life. I'm tired. And then she's like, I want a divorce. And the whole movie is about Indiana. He's like meeting with divorce attorneys. It's like, she wants how much? Yeah, this movie is terrible. We should not write the Indiana Jones movie.
No.
Especially if we're going to go that route. Fingers crossed that it'll be good. Better track record, obviously, than not of good Indiana Jones movies directed by Steven Spielberg.
I mean, I really hope they're just waiting to make a new Indiana Jones when Chris Pratt has the time.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's wanting to get fat.
Whatever.
He wants to get through this kind of quick, so go back to
getting
fat.
Give me fat Pratt Indiana. I'm okay.
Fat Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones is eating donuts. Like, so where are we going? You want me to go to Africa? They got McDonald's in Africa, right? Now, Indiana Jones is in the 80s, too. We forgot to mention that.
Yes. And he's fat.
We're going to change. He's fat. It's 1980s, and he's slightly racist.
Well, I mean, it's the 80s.
Yeah, Indiana Jones, he's a very enlightened character considering the time period and all this, the different cultures he encounters. Uh-huh. I guess that's why he studies other cultures, so he's much more respectful of them. Okay, some TV stuff here. Some Netflix stuff. A couple of Netflix stories. First off, The Punisher. We just finished watching Luke Cage. Mm-hmm. We'll review that in the Talking TV bonus episode. But we were talking about the Marvel shows they got lined up, right? The Punisher is shooting now. Mm-hmm. And Netflix announced that it is for sure coming out in 2017. So far,
sometime next year.
So far, the schedule is March 2017 is Iron Fist. Mm-hmm. After that is The Punisher. Mm-hmm. If it's anything like, but then I think they're also shooting to come out late next year will be The Defenders. I think they're going for 3 series next year. So I could see The Punisher coming out like July. I'm gonna say,
that might be the summer. And then spring, summer, fall.
Yeah, late October, maybe mid October for the Defenders. Yeah. But it looks like they may be going for then 3 series a year. It's been 2, now they might go 3.
I'm cool with that.
Also, some talks, some rumblings that with future shows, start exploring other characters that would work better as a Netflix show as opposed to a movie. We might be getting a, what do you think about a Moon Knight series?
Ooh, that could be fun.
Yeah, right?
You know what else could be a lot of fun?
What?
Cloak and Dagger.
What's that?
Did
a ghost just enter you?
Kind of.
Are you now possessed? What was that?
Cloak and Dagger, team up. Guy, girl, guys, black, girls, white. Girl has the power of light. And Cloak has the power of dark.
Why the black guy gotta be the power of dark?
Well, because it works. But he's got this cloak, and he opens it up, and it's like a portal to like the shadow dimension or whatever.
Ooh.
So, you know, they team up, do my stuff.
Shadow dimension.
Are you looking up Cloak and Dagger?
No.
Marvel?
No, I'm not.
You should.
I'm listening to what you're telling me about.
That could be a fun Netflix series.
Cloak and Dagger?
Mm-hmm. I mean, Moon Knight. Moon Knight would be fun as well. That would be more of like a
he's kind of a sci-fi supernatural type thing.
Yeah, sci-fi supernatural with a little bit of detective work.
Yeah, that's the thing with the Doctor Strange opening up the supernatural world for Marvel. They can start going into those directions. It's funny how Marvel plans that stuff out more to introduce these type of elements, whereas DC, Warner Brothers, they just go for it. They're like, fuck it, we're just going to make a Justice League Dark movie and see what people think.
I'm okay with it.
We don't give a shit if it makes sense in context.
Yeah, see, Cloak and Dagger, bro.
Cloak and Dagger. Okay. Yeah. Kind of cool. All right. Yeah, I'll see that show. So one day, we might get that.
Probably not.
Or maybe not. Who knows? We'll see. We'll see how The Punisher does, et cetera, et cetera. If these shows, Netflix, they don't put out their like ratings or anything. They kind of keep that stuff secret, but there are other companies out there that use their own metrics to try to determine what could be considered a hit and what's not a hit for, mm-hmm. for Netflix. The Marvel shows are considered a hit. Stranger Things was considered a hit.
Yeah, it was.
The Get Down.
A hit or miss.
Considered. Probably Netflix's one of their rare flops.
Really? I heard good things about it.
So have I. That's the thing. I've only seen or heard good things about it. But I also have noticed that it's not as prevalent in, in pop culture and on Twitter as like Stranger Things. Stranger Things like blew up, right? The Get Down was nowhere near that. The Get Down is Baz Luhrmann's ode to the 1970s hip hop scene in New York. Baz Luhrmann, known for making movies like William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, the one with Leonardo DiCaprio, The Great Gatsby, the one with Leonardo DiCaprio, Moulin Rouge, not Leonardo DiCaprio, that one. I wonder what he was doing at that time. We got Ewan McGregor and Cloak and Dagger 2017. Look at that. So what, they announced a Cloak and Dagger show?
It's IMDb says it.
IMDb says it is, but IMDb is also not trustworthy. It's just like...
IMDb says at least somebody...
It's just like Wikipedia.
...has an idea
for Someone it. Has an idea for
it. Somebody has an idea for it. That's all it says.
Okay, yeah. Well, like I said, people should know that IMDb is on some sort of official page. It's like Wikipedia. No. Anyone can update any page that's on there.
Exactly. So somebody has an idea for a Cloak and Dagger show.
So that's what I'm saying. They're looking to get, it's like a lot of their weirder stuff and put it on Netflix where it's cheaper to do. And
there we go. No.
The risk is spread out.
7 months ago, apparently, Freeform, the TV show, greenlit Marvel's Cloak and Dagger.
Freeform, the TV channel.
TV channel, yes. Greenlit Cloak and Dagger.
Interesting. Freeform is a weird fucking channel. Mm. Used to be ABC Family, but now they're like teens like fuck too.
Yeah. Well, apparently they're the ones who greenlit it for next year.
Well, back to the Get Down. For perspective, Game of Thrones, considered a very expensive TV show.
Oh yeah.
The last season came out to about $10 million an episode.
Sounds about right.
House of Cards, also considered a very expensive series at, I think that was $11 million per episode. Which is crazy because it's a drama. But it's also, of that $11 million, what, like one is going to Kevin Spacey?
I was about to say, yeah. So
half a million's going to Robin Wright Penn because, you know, pay wage gap, gender gap.
Yeah, but didn't she... There
Robin Wright, excuse me. I'm sorry, I said Penn. Don't sue me.
There were some articles about her...
Demanding more money.
And I think she got it, too. I think she got equal pay with Kevin Spacey.
And her role was beefed up, too, over seasons, too. So that makes sense. The Get Down was greenlit at $7.5 million per episode. Baz Luhrmann was like, I pissed on you with $7.5 million.
Boy, it's fucking Baz Luhrmann.
It's coming out to $16 million per episode to Get Down.
You give me that budget, I double it.
That means we are looking at 12 episode seasons gonna cost $190 million. So it's like a $190 million movie, but it's also a 12-hour movie.
Yeah.
That's expensive as fuck.
Yeah, it is.
It's expensive as fuck. And the fact that it's not blowing up online, Twitter, pop culture like these other shows are immediately is probably giving Netflix a little bit of pause. Because also, we haven't started watching it yet.
Given Netflix a little bit of pause, I mean,
here's the thing. This is why they could have paused with this, Drew. Because we haven't started watching. We haven't noticed this. A 12-episode season one, they only put out episodes 1 through 6.
Really?
Episodes 6 through 12 aren't even done. They're still producing them.
Maybe they should stop.
That's the thing. They could be like, we're pulling... It could be a show that gets canceled.
Well,
like TV style, we're done. We're canceling this.
Here's the thing, Chris. If anybody at Netflix had looked at Baz Luhrmann's filmography and seeing what he does, you know, commercially...
His opulence.
This, that, the other... Mm-hmm. I think somebody mm-hmm. could have figured out that this might happen. Yes, he does good work. Yes, he does good work with music. Yeah. Everything's very stylish. Mm-hmm. This, that, the other. Mm-hmm. But as a whole, does anybody really care about Baz Luhrmann?
Well, yeah, I don't think the general public even knows who he is or, you know, what his quote style is or anything. So I don't even think for Netflix that enters into it. I think they wanted a specific look and style that only Baz Luhrmann could have brought them. Mm-hmm. And yes, they were banking on a Moulin Rouge, and they may have got an Australia.
Exactly.
That's possible. That's very possible. But like you said, I've only heard good things about it. And the good things I've heard, people have been like, you need to watch this.
No,
which is why it's on the list.
Exactly. That's what, I mean.
I didn't put it on the list yet, but I will put it on the list.
I've had at least 3 people say, like, you need to be watching this show.
Yeah, I actually saw someone online say, you should watch The Get Down before you watch Luke Cage.
I heard that too.
For like perspective reasons, you know. So anyway, we will be getting on that. At least apparently the first 6 episodes.
We'll see.
And then we'll see if Netflix ever puts out the other six. But now I'm interested just in seeing where these the fucking $16 million per F is going. What's Baz Luhrmann doing? Is he, are they for baking cakes? They replace all the flour with cocaine? I don't understand what's going on, where all that money is going.
Maybe.
They made one cake, but it's a cocaine cake.
Maybe everything that is supposed to be...
cocaine.
That's supposed to be painted gold is actually gold.
Actually gold. You were supposed to, be fake gold, Baz. It's
like, Baz was like, fuck you, fake gold. I'm allergic to fake gold. All real.
I'm allergic.
Now.
I'm allergic to fake gold.
All real gold now.
I'm allergic to fake gold and cheapskates and cotton graphic tees.
Exactly.
And then I just hang my head on my... I'll walk away. final story. Did you watch Knight Rider growing up? In the 80s?
Yes, I did.
It was on when we were young. It was on.
It was on when we were young. And then
But then it had reruns.
Yes, exactly. And then as I got older, I realized that Kit was the principal from Boy Meets World.
It's Mr. Feeny.
And I'm like, my mind, like, my tiny little mind exploded. Yeah. I was like, what?
Yeah, Mr. Feeny was helping David Hasselhoff this whole time.
Yep.
Knight Rider was on TV from 82 to 86.
They also tried... Didn't they try to reboot that recently?
Oh, yeah. Let me go through everything, actually.
And failed.
Let me tell you how many
every
times...
Every time.
Let me tell you how many times they went to the Knight Rider well. 82 to 86 is the original show that we all know and love.
Exactly. I mean, it's campy. It's dumb.
It's ridiculous. It's stupid. A dumb it's premise. 80. It's so much fun. Then they did a 91 TV movie sequel to the series.
Okay, that might have been decent.
And then, well, at least, yeah, in the vein of it, because of the same principles.
Exactly.
Again, a 94 made-for-TV movie with Hasselhoff, and then a 97 TV spinoff that lasted one season. I do not remember that one season
spinoff. I don't remember the second movie or the spinoff.
In 2008... Yes. There was one season of Knight Rider.
There we go.
That got axed. Absolutely. Yes. Why do you think I'm bringing all this up, Drew?
Because they're trying again.
Trying it again. But who is trying it this time? This is kind of interesting. It looks like producing it and most likely directing at least an episode.
Lord Miller.
Yeah, you see,
I want him for everything, Chris.
I would have led the show with Lord Miller doing Knight Rider.
I want them for everything.
That would have been the start of the show and the end of the show.
I want them for everything.
Justin Lin, Fast and Furious 3, 4, 5, and 6,
yeah.
And then Star Trek Beyond.
He does car stuff.
He does car stuff.
He does sci-fi.
He does action.
Yeah,
and he wants to do a Knight Rider show.
Car stuff. This might actually work.
But we're also apparently refusing to call it any sort of. It's not being called a TV series. Because it's not on TV. But it's not a Netflix series. It's also not an Amazon series or a Crackle series or a Hulu series. What's left? And it's not a YouTube Red series. What's left? It's none of these things, Drew.
Snapchat?
One day. Six-second episodes? That's fine. We are going in that direction.
I don't know.
You would never get this. It's an interesting combination. NBC Universal is teaming up with the online entity Machinima.
What?
Machinima? You haven't heard of Machinima? They've been around for a minute. They do a lot of geek stuff. A lot of culture, TV, movies, video game, trailers, news, things like that.
Anime, I would think. Probably.
A lot of anime.
That's why I don't know.
And they do... But they've teamed up with studios to have, like, The Rock will be like, you're at Machinima, and here's my new trailer for G.I. Joe Retaliation. Yeah. You know, that's how I found out about the site. Because
okay.
I just started seeing more, like, Machinima-exclusive commercials and trailers and stuff. They're working with NBC Universal to make the digital series reboot of Knight Rider.
Okay.
Now we got to start calling these things digital series as opposed to television. Mm-hmm. I guess that makes sense.
Because it's not broadcast from a cable company, even though everything's a digital series now.
Yeah, now it is all digital. It's a digital signal now, isn't it?
It's a digital signal.
But it's on television.
Digital video.
But
digital TV.
Digital TV. Digital movies.
It's all digital, Chris.
It's all digits. It's all ones and zeros. You know what that is. You know what that means. They just found a way to streamline the video game upstairs that's controlling us. Yeah. They just put in a better processor.
They did.
And everything's working fast.
Chris, we got an upgrade.
We got an upgrade. Dude, guys, enjoy the upgrade. Where are we at? 34 minutes. Sorry, this is the end. My only friend. Drew, thank you very much. Where can people find you online?
They can find me online at antihero419, all over the interwebs.
Hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. The show is at Crespodiso and Cinema Crespodiso on Facebook and Instagram. And of course, chriscrespo.com. That's chriscrespo.com. And we'll be back with episode 199 this week. That's going to be the day before Halloween. Ooh, extra spooky episode? Nah, that sounds like work. It'll be a normal episode. It'll be fun, though.
I mean, Chris, we might be in shock. Still.
Oh, yeah. No, we're not talking about that. No. So,
I'm just saying, it's an interesting Halloween weekend, buddy.
Not talking about that. guys, we'll be back soon. Remember to vote. Get out there and vote.
Ooh, I did that today.
You did a good job,
did
Drew.
My thing.
Well done. You did your civic duty.
I did my part.
Got it out of the way, too. How long did it take you?
About 5 minutes. The funny thing was, too, the voting place was packed.
But it was still quick, though.
And it still took me 5 minutes.
When I went to the election office, like every little booth set up for people, like every one of them was, almost every one of them was taken. There's only like 4 open. But still, I was in and out.
No, exactly. Same thing. Like, there were like 5 booths open. I went in, I did my thing.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Here's your sticker. Have a nice day.
That's crazy how quick it was, which is awesome. So, yeah, go out and vote early and vote often. We'll be back soon with more entertainment for y'all. Peace.